Hey, I'm Adam Carolla.
I'm Dr. Drew.
And we are here to ask you to do us a little favor. If you like what you hear, share it with a friend.
Nice. Keep the pirate ship afloat, right?
Yeah, well, that's the only advertising we got. But it's the best kind.
It is.
Word of mouth.
It is.
Whose mouth?
Yours. Not yours, theirs.
Theirs.
Theirs, yes.
That's right. Thank you in advance for telling a friend, and enjoy the show.
This is Carolla Digital. Recorded live at Carolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for the support. Thanks for subscribing via the PayPal button at the site. Thanks for telling a friend and spreading the good news and all that good stuff. And, you know, going through the Amazon link and keeping the wind in the sails of the pirate ship. Also, me and Dr. Drew, our three shows, Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver, all live up on stage, all crafted into one beautiful audio file done by Chris Maxipata. AdamCarolla.com, or you can get it on iTunes under $5. Such a deal, as Drew's tribe would say.
Speaking of such a deal, are we going to go back out on the road next year?
Yeah.
Are people booking that? Are we?
I'm too tired, Drew.
I know. That's what everyone says when I ask. They go, oh, I can't get him on the road. We could do 1,000 appearances, but I don't know. Jesus Christ.
Well, I'm fucking busy.
Me too.
So, Drew, tell me what's going on. I mean, I don't know where I'm at. I had one of my children's teachers do a nice little play. I went to the play. I enjoyed the play. At a certain point, she did a little parental quiz. I raised my hand about a math question. I was correct in my answer. I was told I was wrong in front of the group. And then I was leaving the class, and she said, You know, when I was saying bye, thanks for doing a nice job, she said, you know, you need to work on your fractions, you know. And I said, I don't need to work on my fractions. I was right in my answer. And she went, no, 3 + 3. And then she did. And she went, oh, my God, you were right. Sorry, I shamed you in front of the group and your kid. I was laughing about it. And then I went back and I had to do this. And she was such a nice person. She sent me a card, you know, that said, sorry, thanks for coming out. But all right. So then
you finally we had this talk. So you finally went to your kid's school night.
Yes.
So then we'll talk that little impact
then,
on you.
Then it became, yeah, but see, here's the problem. Uh-oh. Then it became a topic for Week in Rage, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where I was doing my shtick. And then, of course, she heard it.
Oh, no.
And she got very upset.
No.
And wrote another letter.
What did you say in the Week in Rage, though? What'd you call her?
Unclear. I just talk.
What'd you call her?
I don't know. I really don't know.
What do you think you called her? What might you have called her?
Could have been bitch. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I'm talking. I'm vamping. I'm yelling.
I understand.
I'm streaming.
Bitch. Bitch and more?
No.
Have you said
it's
bitch?
It's on.
Anything about her hair?
No.
Ethnicity?
No.
Okay.
She's right ethnicity.
Because you have a tendency to
no,
go
but
that
she's
way.
One of the good ones. So I don't have beef with that. Okay. She's not a troublemaker. You guys know who you are.
You know what I'm talking about, right? It's hair, skin color,
ethnicity. Nothing. No,
body
no,
weight.
Not,
you
not
go
that.
There. You
not
go
that.
There.
I did not go there.
But and, you do go there.
I do, but in this case, I didn't. Okay. Right. And then when I got home, there was a card waiting for me on my computer.
Oh, my God.
And I just started. It was funny because I started reading it, and I was like, I don't know what this is. What is this? And my wife was like, you don't know what that is? And I was like, I don't know. Who is this from? What is this referring to? Like, I don't get it. My feeling, I just throw everything in the trash.
Was it actually a piece of paper?
It was a handwritten, like, buck slip.
Oh, your wife put it on your computer. I thought you meant like it was
yeah,
like
no,
an email
she,
or something.
She said she presented it to me. So I said, I don't know what this is. And then my wife, in painstaking detail, explained to me what it was. And then I said, what? And then you know, my wife started getting agita, you know, like, this is, and I'm like, and you know,
you know I, what? I don't blame her.
No, I don't either. But what my thing is I go on the internet and people tweet me things that says, you should have heard what Andy Kindler was saying about you so-and-so's podcast. Yeah. And I go, why do I care?
Yeah.
I'm sure fully half. There's you can take the planet and break them into two groups. The half that has no idea who I am, and then the half who thinks I'm a horrible douchebag.
But even the ones that are
I'm going to the Home Depot. I don't care.
But by the way, even the ones that are calling you a horrible douchebag are doing it as part of their comedy. Like Doug Stanhope came in here with he and I, and we were like, we're gentlemen together. It's all right. It's comedy, and he has some interesting points, and that's that.
But, you know, the problem with this is you say, well, Asians are slow drivers. And then, you know, the group gets up your ass. And then you go, oh, come on, it's a joke. But it's not a joke. It is a joke. You're trying to get laughs. But it's not a joke because it's based in you think Asians are slow drivers.
But good comedy really is exposing something about reality. I mean, to be fair.
Understood. But okay. If you're going to get your panties in a bunch and you're exposing something about reality.
Yeah.
Well, then you're insulting a group and you're making a joke.
All right.
But if it doesn't resonate with people, if you go, Germans are slow, horrible drivers, you got a bunch of crickets out there.
Yeah.
You say Asians are slow drivers. Well, now, by the way, that's the beginning. You can keep getting more and more offensive with more and more groups more and more whatever and just keep going.
Right.
So it's disingenuous when comedians go, oh, come on, I was making a joke. You weren't making it. A joke is, you know, knock, knock, who's there?
Yeah.
That joke, yes, that means nothing.
But trying to poke at something that they think is real.
Yeah, Doug Stanhope is making is creating material for his stand-up act on stage about you.
Yeah.
But he believes what he's saying.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to hurt you. He doesn't want to harm your family. He does believe what he's saying about you. So to say, oh, come on, that's just a joke. That's not
just
a joke.
Right.
Now, the fact that he says, Dr. Drew should have his medical license stripped and taped to an anthill and covered with honey. Well, that's a joke. I mean, that's an exaggeration of what he is thinking at the time. Unfortunately, it's not funny to say, vehemently disagree with many of Dr. Drew's positions.
It's not funny. Right.
Saying strip him down, cover him
but
with honey,
chain
him to an
anthill. Jokes are amplification of reality.
Right, but then if Dr. Drew is easily offended, do you want me strapped to an anthill and devoured by red army ants? Well, now there's an issue.
But then he would be appropriate to go, it's comedy. Then it is appropriate to go, hey, I'm amplifying something. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but if you want to get your panties in a bunch.
You could.
He believes what he is saying about you.
All right.
Now, Andy Kindler hates me. He likens me to Hitler. I don't think he thinks I'm Hitler. And I don't give a shit if he actually thought I was Hitler or he just likens me to Hitler. But I don't believe he's making a joke. He does hate me.
He's making a joke by amplifying his feelings.
Right, of hatred toward me.
It's literally satire. It's taking it to an extreme, bizarre place, you know.
No.
He's taking it to a place where it becomes funny because it's so extreme.
I'm not helping my own case when I say this. But Andy Kindler, who's a comedian, does not like me.
Yes.
Okay.
That's not funny.
Right. But he is not taking it to the point. There is no point where he stops not liking me.
I understand.
He does not like me.
That's
so I, as a fellow human being who's walking the earth, can go, you hate me. That crushes me spiritually. That hurts me.
Right.
Or I would like to fight you.
Or I don't care.
Or there's many different reactions I can have. But the reaction isn't, oh, he's just kidding.
No, but when he goes, that hatred exceeds my hatred for Hitler, where it's some weird place where it gets uncomfortable, i.e. funny, the funny part, which is really the extreme part that might make you want to punch him, is
no
hey,
for
hey, it's
me
comedy.
It becomes surreal.
I understand,
so
but
it doesn't
for somebody
matter.
Else, it might be like I want to punch him. It's like no, dude, it's just.
I never have that with
I know
anybody.
You don't, but someone might. I'm just saying that
right.
part is hey, it's just comedy. Don't freak out. It's just
right.
He may not like you. Not everyone likes you. It's fine.
Yeah,
he's making fun of the fact no, that but, he's feeling
but,
about
but,
you.
But let it be known that he hates me and uh-huh. that I'm aware of that. Right. And so, oh, that's fine when you're talking about a comedian that lives on the other side of the country.
Yeah,
I assume.
As opposed to your kid's homeroom teacher.
Or whoever. Your wife. Your kids.
Uh-huh.
Your whoever.
Uh-huh.
You know, my kids saw me on The Tonight Show a couple of weeks back. And I said, you know, my twins, you know, the girls like raising three kids and the boys like raising one old cat. And my daughter went, hey.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She saw us.
Well, to be fair, she wanted to see Simon Cowell, the guy from One Direction, and me screwing around with Simon Cowell. But at some point...
She heard that.
She heard that. Now, here's the point. Is there truth in that?
Yes.
Yes, there is. Yes, there's a lot of truth. I rounded
Stop
down.
Stop talking, Daddy!
I rounded down when I said three kids. I meant a
Because you knew she was listening.
No, I did not know she was listening. The point is this. Is there truth in that? Yes. Do I mean to hurt her feelings? No. Could her feelings be hurt by it? Yes.
Should you have not said it because it could be hurtful to your daughter?
Unfortunately, don't sign up to be a sniper in the military if you don't want to
I understand, but
vaporize.
Your daughter doesn't get to sign up to be wearing a turban. She didn't sign up for the turban. She
but,
was given the turban.
I know. But
so sniped that.
She also got the Audi in the big house. Daddy's ability to crawl through the weeds undetected and take out some of the guys in the playing deck from the Taliban gives her the Audi in the big house. And the notion of, you know, well, just do it both ways. It's tough. It's tough. But getting back.
To your teacher.
Yeah. Now, I always feel horrible because I feel horrible for them because they think I really think that way.
But then again, you kind of – at least you did for a moment.
It's – no. In that case, it is
– It wouldn't be comedy unless there was truth.
No, but it's a huge exaggeration.
Yeah, huge. Right.
No. It's not what Doug Stanhope has with you
uh-huh.
or Andy Kindler has with me. Uh-huh. This is – I don't even think about it the second I get into my car and start driving away.
No, of course.
It's nothing more than an exchange with truth followed by a joke that is outrage followed by I don't even remember what happened.
Yeah.
Unlike my ongoing battles with passion fruit iced tea or, you know, Mayor Villaraigosa or – Click it or tick it or any of that stuff.
What's the assistant governor's name?
Gavin Newsom.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
Well, to be fair to him, he's just a liar. I mean, there's nothing evil about him. He's trying to get poor people to reelect him, so he lies and feeds them more chocolate pudding for breakfast because that's what they like. Mm. And if you come in and go, there's no nutritional value in that chocolate pudding, you're going to have to start eating an apple and a hard-boiled egg.
You?
They go, we don't like the way that tastes. Give us the other guy that gives us the chocolate pudding. And Gavin Newsom's plan is chocolate pudding for everybody who votes for me. That's his plan. He doesn't care about their diabetes. He doesn't care about them. Right. He claims to. If he did care.
He wouldn't give them chocolate pudding.
Oh, no. He'd have a plan other than... stop this, stop that, stop this, and stop that. He doesn't have a plan. He just sits around. He does the same thing Huffington Post does. They talk about the school-to-prison pipeline. They don't have a plan for the interruption of said pipeline. They just their plan is to talk about it and then shout me down, which
so,
is never going to
teacher.
Work. Yeah. So I felt horrible, but only because she felt horrible.
Right, she reacted.
What
did the letter say?
You know what? You want to know what's weird about me?
You don't remember it.
I read a paragraph or two in. I stop and then I throw it away.
Did your wife read it?
Oh, she had it tattooed on her ass. Yeah.
And what did she say it said?
It was just, you know, hurtful and outrage and, you know, I do the best I can and blah, blah, blah. And
did you use her name when you?
No.
Yeah.
I don't know her name.
Yeah, of course.
Why would I know my teacher's name?
Yeah, of course.
There's going to be a new one next year.
Yeah, yeah.
So I said, oh, boy, we better apologize, which I mean, my apologies are never, I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry
because
you're hurt.
I didn't do any. I don't mean anything. I'm sorry that you feel this way about what I said because I don't feel that way about what I said.
Right.
That's
it's not real. Yeah.
It's not real to
me.
I'll do another. I got another set of these to do tomorrow morning.
I was just thinking how would I be able to have worked with you all these years if I ever listened to the things you said about. You mean them though.
Well, they're not kernels of truth.
Just
they
leave
don't,
it be.
They don't make sense.
Leave it be. You might have a letter on your computer tomorrow.
But listen, so we wrote a nice email back.
I think you got to go in.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No. And I'll tell you why. I've had this happen before. I cannot be responsible for everyone's feelings. You have to take ownership over your own feelings.
Yeah, at a certain point, if you make too much out of it, it becomes a thing now.
Well, what I'm saying is this. If somebody comes up to you while you're sitting at a drive-thru waiting in line for your burger and punches you in the face, that's a problem. You know, if someone says something you disagree with or you find hurtful or you find whatever, there should be discussion and a remedy, and then you need to move on.
Yeah.
This point where everybody, as I said, when the woman of color confronted me on the basketball court and wanted to know why I called her kids half-breeds, and then I said, I didn't call your kids a half-breed. That means I'm not talking about black kids. That's a pejorative term for Native Americans. So moving on, she was not ready to move on. I was a million miles away, floating on a truck inner tube with a fucking beer between my legs down a lazy river outside of Austin.
Yeah.
She was going on for lap two, lap three, and lap four. That's my whole point. I'm never going to make you whole, sweetie. I'll explain what I said.
Yeah.
I'll tell you I'm sorry if you misinterpreted what I said, or I'll just tell you I'm sorry in general. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Then we'll get on with our lives, which I think we're going to do. Me and my teacher.
Did she respond?
I'm not checking that part. I don't want to play the ping pong.
I think
the
you're
ping
going
pong
in.
Match.
You expect to hear from Lynette.
I'm not
going
in.
Yeah,
I'm not going in.
I'll go with you.
She's great at what she does. She's great with my son, and I'm moving on. I made a joke. I'm moving on. I apologize.
Did you write the apology, or is your wife?
Well, she wrote it. I craft everything.
Okay.
I'm a crafter.
Was she satisfied with it, Lynette?
Yeah.
She thinks it's over.
I don't know. Again, what do we live to? 180, 185? I say to people all the time, how many years do we have on this planet? I just, the time that it takes. And look, I understand I'm a non-human being and I understand how other people work. For me, the time it takes to craft a "you owe me an apology" or "here's how I feel" letter, it's not worth the time for the person.
I'm just thinking, I'm doing a podcast later with the guy that has the whole physiology worked out of the no pulse, how that works.
Mm.
Can you hang out for 10 minutes and talk to him? I'd like him to interview you and see what the thump you like a melon. See what his thoughts are.
So listen, it's not... I can get my feelings hurt.
You don't have a pulse.
I know.
Your wife and I have agita just thinking about this.
Look.
I'm just saying. It's all right. I wish I were more like you. I'm not saying you're wrong.
There's only a certain amount of minutes you have on the planet. You have to figure out where you're going to dedicate those minutes. Getting other people to make you feel a certain way about yourself, for good or for bad.
However minutes there are, your heart will have beat an order of magnitude fewer times than mine. 10 orders of magnitude.
All right. But anyway, in a nutshell, love the teacher.
Yeah.
Think she's doing a great job. Made a joke. Got a letter about it. Mm-hmm. Understood it. Mm-hmm. Apologized.
Yeah, yeah.
Moving on.
All right. All good.
And I'm just saying, we're now in this E world where, you know, I didn't think there's any way she'd ever hear it. But everybody shares everything with everybody, and they just thought you should know. Just like whoever the douche was who shared the information with the chick whose basketball team I coach thought she should know. Mm-hmm. Why?
They were concerned.
Concerned about the 7-year-olds who never heard it or the 43-year-old who never heard it? Which one were you concerned for? You fucking plane flew over while you were asleep. Should I wake you up and tell you what happened? Or can I just let you sleep through it? Concerned? Or an evil person? And I don't dust off evil that often, but yeah. Concerned or a person that needs
How about flawed?
Someone else to feel hurt?
Flawed.
And anger in order to make themselves feel alive.
Right. Envy, flaw again.
I don't get Drew
Schadenfreude.
Yes. I don't get people inserting themselves into situations.
People like drama, people like Schadenfreude, people have shitloads of envy today.
Does it make you money? Does it make you happy? And if it makes you happy, you're a fucking evil person. And if you're making your money, yeah. I gotta get in on that.
But strangely enough, envy is a zone where evil starts to make sense for me.
Thought you should know. Yeah. Thought you should know what. And of course a stilted, slanted version of what was said. Of course. You know, we did Love Line one time.
What? What?
One
we
time.
Did?
Mm-hmm. I sat in one time. Oh. And they said, something, I don't know, slavery, reparations, whatever it was. And I said, look, my nephews, they're all German. And they were born much closer to the Holocaust than I was born to slavery. My family.
In time. In terms of chronology, yeah.
But my family, my wife's family, they weren't in this country during slavery. Not here. Both my wife's parents were born in Italy. So not here. Own no slaves. I don't know what you want me to do with this, but not me. And by the way, it's like asking my nephews what they're going to do about the Holocaust. Nothing. They weren't around. They have nothing to do with it. Their father's German, and he had nothing to do with the Holocaust. That got reported back to my sister that I called my nephews Nazis.
They were concerned.
They were concerned that my nephews who did not listen to Loveline and my sister who did not listen to Loveline know that I by the way, so concerned that they completely misquoted what I said.
Right.
Yeah. When in fact the opposite was basically what I was saying, which is don't blame these kids for being half German. They have nothing to do with this. That, of course, was the message. The message that got sent back was they're called the nephews Nazis. Is that person concerned? Now, listen. Again, I don't call that person evil like, you know, I gassed a bunch of Kurds evil. But that's an evil person. That's a person that has a dark heart. That's a person that says, I'm going to burn calories walking across this room, tapping this person on the shoulder, fabricating a story that is going to make them feel bad about themselves and possibly about their kids, and then create possible outrage and anger and strife in a relationship when I then get the seething phone call, how dare you, don't you talk about my children, blah, blah, blah.
You know what they could have done instead?
Shut the fuck up or kill themselves or possibly both. Not in that order. That's what they could have done instead. I'll tell you what they could have done instead. They could have had a fucking life. They could have had a muse and a hobby, avocation, something they were good at, something they liked to practice, a team they followed, a skill set. Something other than walking around and trying to make people feel as bad as they feel and their fucking pitch black heart. Go ahead, Drew. What could they have done instead?
Could have gone to meeting.
Mm.
They could have gotten everyone together.
Or that.
Could have gotten everyone together.
That's right.
With high definition video conferencing.
Mm, smart. Shrewd. Yeah, that would have cleared
it
up.
Go to a meeting with HD Faces by Citrix. Would have made it easy for them to gather everybody and share their darkness.
Yes, spread your lies.
With GoToMeeting, you get to share the screen with your paperwork. You can work on one of those documents. You all get to see it at the same time while you are in an HD conference where everyone is up on the screen looking at one another. And you can launch or join a meeting from any computer, smartphone, or tablet, even an iPad. Make sure you try GoToMeeting because you get it now for free. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button and use the promo code Adam. GoToMeeting like we do here.
All right. I just feel like I'm living in the most sensitive time imaginable with the with technology being the most easy to communicate. You know, it used to be, take that parchment paper, get the Pony Express guy over to the house.
The clay tablet and the
stick. Oh, fuck it. I don't have time to write an angry tablet. Take a tablet.
Angry Stelling.
Matt, take a tablet. Yeah, I just don't have time for that. Now, it's just everyone is very sensitive, and everyone can just peel off a note, and it goes everywhere. And I've experienced it. And look, I realize I'm not wired like everybody.
Well, part of it also is, in addition to not having a pulse, you also have low self-esteem, so you don't imagine anybody's listening.
Or
that anybody cares
that
what you say. Like, why would they care what I say?
No, right? I don't. Yeah. Oh, I always think, why would anyone care what I say?
Right. So there's that problem, is that they do.
Right. Speaking of family, line five, Jay.
Hi, how are you, Adam? Hi, how are you, Dr. Drew? I love the show.
Thanks,
thank
Jay.
You.
I have a question for you, sort of random, but something I'm curious about because I'm facing a similar situation in my own life. Adam, you're very successful. You've done some generous things for your parents. I think you mentioned that you bought your dad a car or roofed your mom's house. But do you ever feel compelled
them pay.
To do?
He made them
I'm
pay.
Sorry, what's that?
No, I did not make them pay.
Well, you made them pay emotionally.
No.
Your dad?
Well, I cut him off.
Anyway, go ahead, Jay.
So do you ever feel compelled to do more for them, or is this sort of like punitive? This is, you know, that you're going to limit what you do for them because they weren't the best parents for you?
Well, I obviously there's a difference between a feeling a child has toward a parent who, you know, dad worked three jobs to put me through law school and now I'm a successful lawyer. Well, just like when there's a divorce going on and the woman worked, took an extra few shifts a week as a waitress so she could put her man through law school, and now he's made partner, and now they're getting a divorce. Yeah, she's entitled to something in my mind. Obviously, by law, they're not entitled to something, but you're compelled to pay that person back, or the person just created the love and the nurturing and the safety and the what have you, and again, paying for college or books or what have you to then get you where you are to now earn what you earn. Yeah, there's a little something to be kicked back to that person. So obviously, I don't have any of that. My family are sort of like alley cats. They just kind of roam around and look for some shades to sleep in. So they don't really need anything. They're sort of self-sustained. My dad, mom don't want much. They don't ask for anything. On occasion, I would help them out. Yes, I leased my dad a car for many years until he basically did something. Again, my dad, worst businessman on the planet, just business acumen.
He under mileaged the car, underdrove it.
He was on his third car. My dad is a smart man and then very dumb in many ways. Also has an element, as I've said to everybody, Max Zapata, Haftar, and all those guys, I've sat them all down on the on my luxury.
Max Zapata seems especially sort of interested in you today. Like, he's listening carefully and reacting.
He's fucking he's learning while he's earning. He should be paying me for this shit.
He's learning. You're learning.
Yes.
Is that him trying to combine those two words and just saying learning?
I think
you're
so.
You're learning. Learning and earning.
He's earning. So, no, I sit these guys down twice a year, and I go, look, whatever happens to you in your life, you're going to do it to yourself. You're going to fuck yourself. It's not going to be the boss man. It's not going to be anybody.
Got that, Chris?
You will fuck your own shit up. Don't do it. Don't fuck your own shit up. My dad's stupid. He wanted a fourth car leased. And he would show up. And by the way, you know, when I was rebuilding my house and stuff, he wouldn't show up like, hey, son, you need a six pack or a hand. He'd just be literally like, I'll meet you at the restaurant, you know, for lunch or whatever. But he doesn't have it. My dad doesn't kiss ass, but he needs to. And his car was, now imagine this, just, but Drew, take this and push it toward a business, just right. Business
any
acumen.
Business. Got it.
Well, what I mean is you want to get into business with somebody, business is basically, I want you to do this for me, and in turn, I'm going to make you glad you did this for me by providing X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
My dad, his business was he wanted a fourth leased car.
Mm-hmm.
So here's his business model, his business plan. His business plan was to show up in his wife's Honda CRV.
At your house.
At my house. Not the Jaguar that I leased him, but the Honda CRV. He would drive his wife's car. Now, I drive my wife's car once every 18 months.
But you could argue. Now, hold a second. You could argue that he appreciates his Jaguar so much. He only saves it for special occasions. However, my understanding is you'd had a little conversation with him just prior to
Quiet.
That.
Quiet. No. Please don't shit on my story.
I'm not shit. I'm trying to enhance it.
Enhance it with shit? Shit-hance it, as you would say?
Shit-hance.
Shit-hance it. So he shows up in the fucking CRV. And I said, Dad, does Lynn own that car? And he said, yes. And I go, good. Then you're putting miles on that car, and thus you're depreciating that car. Your car is under mileage. How many miles do you have on it? It's like 23,000 miles. Okay, you have 36,000 on the lease, and the lease is up in 2 weeks. And by the way, if you need to know anything about life, here's all you need to know about life. You lease a car for 12,000 miles a year in 3 years, and you turn it in 40 miles over 36,000 miles, and they charge you for those 40 miles.
Yeah.
All right, and what's their argument? Well, you have mileage. The car's worth more or worth less with more miles on it, and you exceeded the mileage agreement. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you turn that car in with 21,000 miles,
they give you money back
on a 36,000 mile lease, and you go, all right, how about you kick something back? They go, oh, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to use your argument and go, why don't you do that? Well, the reason they don't do that is because they have your money.
They don't have to.
And they don't have to.
Right.
And that's the way businesses work. It's the gift certificate theory. Mm-hmm. $500, you spend $4.99, we don't give you a dollar back. Go find something for a dollar, or better yet, find something for $100. So I said to my dad, do not drive this car. Do not drive your wife's car.
Yeah.
Drive your car because you're under the mileage. And there was an ongoing conversation. You know, son, I'm looking at new cars. What do you think? How's it looking? We think we're going to get this. I was going through some sort of financial stuff at the time. I was working on my house and stuff. And I said, it looks good. Let me check on a few things. Meanwhile, we're going month to month because we've exceeded your lease. So now this is the part that makes this is where you go from dumb to colossally moronic. We're going month to month on the lease, and month to month he's saying, how are we looking for that new car? And month to month he's driving the Honda over to the house. And I said to him a second time, listen, I see you're pulling up in Lynn's Honda again. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. Your car is way under the mileage that I paid for already.
Did he get that when you said that? Did he acknowledge an understanding of that is my question.
My dad is capable of understanding very complex items, but not ones that he doesn't pay for.
Okay, got it.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
People get exquisitely dumb when it comes to shit they're not paying for and really smart when it comes to their own shit.
Not paying attention. Doesn't have his attention. Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so I said, it's costing me money. Yeah. Drive that car.
At least that's the message you received, is I don't give a shit that you're paying the dough because I'm not.
No, he said when I said it the second or third time, he said, yeah, I didn't get that whole mileage part. I don't understand that. And it's like,
Do you explain it?
I explained it the first time. exquisitely clearly.
Okay.
You have 36,000 mile lease. You're 23,000 and we're over the time.
Yeah.
So I paid for this much. You've used this much and we're going month to month now. So drive the car. You're leaving money on the table. And said, all right. And then I think he drove the Honda over one more time. And I said, well, that's it. You just saved me $859 a month, old man, because you ain't getting another car. And he said, why not? And I said, because you won't drive the car that I'm currently leasing you. And he said, I drive it. I drive it a lot. And I said, yeah, but you haven't driven it the last three times you come to my house. And he said, so that's part of the rule? I mean, that's so I must drive it? Should I just drive it in a circle around the block?
Did he say that?
Yeah. And I said, no. But I think I explained the mileage thing, and just from a pure emotional, psychological thing, seeing you pull up in the CRV does not make me feel compelled to lease you another car. So no. And he said, I don't get it. And I said, you don't understand how that would make me feel. And he said, absolutely not. And I said, you don't understand that. As a therapist, you don't understand that. And he said, what does it have to do with how much or where I drive it? I drive it. I appreciate it. You lease it for me. Done and done. I said, no, not done and done. The last three times you've come over, you've been driving your wife's car alone, by the way. And I've told you we're under the mileage and I'm going to pay for that mileage. And we're going month to month now. We're over the lease and I got to turn the car in. And it doesn't feel good to me. It doesn't make me want to do this for you. I don't get it, he said. I just don't get it. I said, you really don't get it. I said, I really have no idea what you're talking about. I just
no attempt to say exactly what could I do to make you happy or anything? Not like,
oh, it was one mode the Corollas don't have. That's ass kiss mode. They don't have it. See, it's such horrible business acumen. He does not have a podcast on this network
because
it has been over a year now, I'm hoping, because as the person who underwrites everything, I sat down and I looked at the podcasts that were basically losing me money, and it was my dad and my wife and maybe another one. And I said to those people, look, I don't have to get rich off your podcast, but we got to figure out a way going into year number three or whatever it is to
sustain it.
Treat it. Pretend you want to make some money here. I know it's nice that I just pay for everything, but it's not fair to me, even as a gesture. It's not the idea that you're just doing this and it's costing me money. It's not emotionally where I want to be with this. I want you to see about breaking even. What can we do about that? And I said to my dad, look, we got to figure out a way to get you up to even with this podcast because it's costing me money. And he said, yeah, I don't know what you want to do. And I said, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do set up a PayPal account. You have all these interested fans, so you say, that would miss this podcast greatly. Tell them good. Contribute $5 a month. We're only talking about a few hundred bucks a month.
Because you're going to pay for the bandwidth and Chris and Gary and everybody, right?
Honestly.
And the room here and all this, the lights, the air conditioning.
It is 97% symbolic with me, which is I am saying to somebody who's supposed to be a loved one, I need your help. I am underwriting this thing. It has gone on for years. It is losing me money for years. Not hundreds of thousands of dollars, but into the thousands of dollars. You're supposed to be on the happy side of the ledger. Your family, you're supposed to help look for ways to make money, not just kind of treat it like a hobby that costs me money. Let's figure out how to do this. And by the way, I shouldn't be coming to you for this. You should be actively seeking ways to not have me underwrite your hobby.
Right.
And the answer was basically, yeah, all right. And then he went out and did his next podcast. He didn't ask for anything. And then at a certain point, I said, hey, I need you to do this. And he said, yeah, I didn't get that. I didn't get how that worked.
Yeah, I didn't understand the mileage.
You don't get how it works? there's a building, there's air conditioning, there's Max Pata, there's Haftard over there. There's the console that I built and the building that I built and all that and bandwidth, and it costs – I'll make it easy for you. There's not one penny coming in. So it's not free. So let's figure out how to do this so it doesn't cost your son money. And because we're running a business and, you know, the ones that make money are great. And the ones that break even, okay, I'll look the other way on those. But the ones that are costing me money, I have to take a look at that, especially as we roll into year number three or four with it. So he said, I'll get you. And then he just kind of wouldn't do it, kind of begrudgingly kind of passed it off to Ray. He didn't want to do it. And he just didn't want to do it. Okay. Now, he wanted to do his podcast.
Yeah.
But he didn't want to do the work that was associated with the podcast. Look, I don't want to talk about stamps.com. I don't.
That's the one I do want to talk about.
I don't want to talk about stamps.com.
You better, though.
I love them so much. I can't. I can't not talk about stamps.com. It's official U.S. postage, Drew. You print it from your own printer.
I know. I've been
doing it for years.
And your
own computer.
I feel like I'm a counterfeiter printing
you
money.
Use the digital scale. They give you a digital scale. They give you $55 free postage. You just type in ADS. It's a special deal for our listeners. I don't want to talk about this.
But
I want to complain about my dad, but I'm compelled, man. Let's not wait. Go to stamps.com. Don't go to the post office. They give you the exact postage. Why? This is every second you don't do this, you're wasting your life. You really are. You're just going to look back on it. It's like, I don't know, not owning a, like, you know, holding out 5 years and going, I don't need a cell phone.
I don't need a computer.
Do. Go to stamps.com, click on the microphone, the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that's stamps.com, promo code ADS. So he said, I want to do this podcast. I really want to do it. And I said, good. All you have to do is figure out a way to make $150, $200 a month, and I think we might be covered. And he never did it. And at a certain point, I think he said, I don't beg for money. You don't beg for money. You take money. You don't beg for it. Yes, Gary.
Oh, I was just waiting if you needed me for backup.
Am I accurately portraying this?
Because you were there. You saw this all go down.
Yeah, I was the one begging for money every week.
Oh, you were the one that get on the mic and ask for the PayPal.
Well, I had to at a certain point because Adam was very insistent was going to happen.
Did his dad just not believe that he was going to cut him off?
No, I don't think that was the case at all. I think he fully believed that Adam would cut him off. He just wasn't going to – he didn't understand PayPal. He didn't think that it was right to be asking people for money, and he wasn't going to do it.
He asked clients for money as a therapist.
He asked you for money to Adam to make this thing happen.
That's invisible money. See, listen.
But you're a fat cat.
That's the whole
thing.
You're
the man.
This is why, and I tell, and there's never a chance it's going to happen, but I also yell at these people. You're going to do the worst thing. You do it yourself. And the next one I say is don't ever be successful. And I always add an addendum with, I know it's not going to happen, but
done and done.
Don't ever be successful because you'll have two choices. You can pay for the podcast that makes no money for eternity, or you can cut it off and be an asshole. By the way, not cut it off, offer a solution.
Yeah.
Listen, this is costing me money.
Right. By the way, it's not make no money, losing money, draining money.
Yes.
Yeah.
Every month.
Yeah. Yeah.
So for years, right?
Yeah.
So I say, look, let's just figure this out.
It could be your charity. You know, I keep my practice open.
I don't need that kind of fucking. All right. But listen, these are family members.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I did it with Lynette, and you know what? She got on board.
Yeah, yeah.
And now they make a little money, do a little better than even. They got on board. But my dad just said, basically, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, you don't tell me what to say on my podcast. But my thing is, like, it's not your podcast. He acts like he built this building. He doesn't get – so he conveniently doesn't understand that. So I said, look. Either start doing this or it's going to end. Now, here's the real question, Drew. Mm-hmm. Does he want another luxury automobile leased to him at no cost?
Yes.
Does he want to continue a podcast?
Yes.
One could argue that there's an exceedingly simple way for him to have a luxury automobile leased in his name in perpetuity and to have a podcast on my network in perpetuity. Exceedingly easy. It's not, hey, old man, crank out 100 push-ups and then put a coat of carnauba wax on my custom van. It's simply drive said custom said luxury car over here. Or at some point in the body of your 90-minute or hour-long podcast, explain to people, hey, we need to keep this thing going.
I dig this conversation because now when people go listen to my podcast, they'll understand why I ask people to please support it to keep the wind in the sails of the Corolla Network so
right.
I can keep doing my podcast.
Then I gave him about 4 or 5 podcasts. He did not do that. And I said, well, then that's it.
And you also had him on your own main show and let him kind of try to do that there. And a flood came in after that. That next day, I probably got 400 or 500 donations.
He also came on the main show completely unprepared, wanted to play his trumpet.
That's true.
You know what I mean? And I said to him, look, you can either play your trumpet or you can talk about what I want you to talk about, which is raising awareness for your show. And he was pissed off about it. So it's a narcissist. So eventually, he didn't do what I told him to do. The money stopped coming in, and I cut him off. And his answer as to why he got cut off, Gary, was, I don't know, he was confused, or he wouldn't beg, or he didn't – I don't know what his answer was.
It was Adam's the boss. Kind of begrudgingly, this is Adam's world, and I'm just living in it type of thing.
Right.
That's an interesting thing. Interesting take on it.
So your plan – is to go ahead and take your son and lose him money.
That's the plan.
Because you and morally, you're completely fine with the $300 a month it takes out of my account to run your hobby. And then when I offer a solution, the answer is somewhere between I don't get it and fuck you. And then when you're done, you get to walk away and go, well, you're just an asshole.
How's your therapy going?
Fantastic. Oh, but Drew,
I think we need a little EMDR. EMDR.
But Drew, who needs the therapy in this equation? The guy who's just fucking losing money and saying, I have a plan to remedy this. Or the fucking selfish guy who's taking the money and fighting.
If this were the third time I'd heard this story, I'd say maybe the old man. But it being the 57th time.
Well, this guy brought it up. Come on now.
I'm just saying a little EMDR might do a little trick.
Okay.
Here. That's all I'm saying.
All right. All right, podcast question. Let's see, a mold. Who cares about mold? Forget about mold. Someone's got a podcast. What line's he on?
4.
Line 4. Hey, Adam.
Yeah, how are you?
What's going on?
My question is, I've been doing a podcast for a little while. Speaking of podcasts, they go on in perpetuity and don't make any money.
Yeah, that's 99% of them.
Yeah, I know. My question is, I'm attempting to break into broadcasting, and I know you've talked about how dumb radio guys are a million times. Do you think that that's worthwhile, or should I continue to try to grow it via the internet?
How many listeners do you have?
Don't ask. That's how bad it is.
Is it
mostly
zero?
Relatives.
Relatives, okay.
No, it's like 30, maybe.
Have you been able to... Yeah, but if you could turn that 30 into 35, then you'd have nothing.
Right, exactly.
Right, but is there some growth? Is there some upside?
There is. It's slow, and I feel that the quality of the show is getting better, but I've been doing it for 18 months, and I'd like to make a nickel before the year 3,500.
I don't understand what the question is exactly.
Yeah, I don't
the
either.
The question is it worth getting into terrestrial radio?
Do you have do you have any discernible talent other than talking about how unsuccessful the podcast is?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you have a sense of humor?
Yeah.
Have you done radio before?
Yeah, I did a little bit in college, and I am doing another career now, but I'm looking to move into broadcasting.
How do you pay the bills now?
What's that, Drew?
How do you pay the bills now?
Oh, no, I have a career that is aside from broadcasting.
All right.
Can you write?
Yeah.
It's kind of like asking if I wrote a book, how do I get people to read it?
It's
a similar question, and you need a platform. You need to have some way of getting access to an audience. Right?
Well, the people that hear you, look, no comedian was ever born with a following,
right?
Outside of Dane Cook. Nobody was ever – no, he built – everyone builds a following.
But they do it by accessing audiences.
Well, but here's how you build a following. You be really good at something, and then people go –
But listen.
Hold on. I had – quiet.
You actually hit me.
I touch you.
Jesus.
Therapy's not going well. I've become violent now.
Do you hit your therapist?
No, listen to me. I had dinner the other night with Phil Rosenthal.
Right.
He's a cajillionaire because he created Everyone Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
And he said to me, you, talking about cars, he said, you need to get yourself a Tesla S. I love it. I love my car. It's beautiful. Yeah. It's technology. I never stop at a gas station. Yeah. It's beautiful. You love it. You get it.
Yeah.
You got to get it. And he did 20 minutes on how much he loves his Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Then he stopped and he paused and he said, and you know what? They don't even advertise. And I said, yes, they do. And he said,
"He's doing
no,
right
they don't."
Now.
I said, "You just gave me a 20-minute commercial on Tesla."
Dig.
That's how they advertise. Yeah. They create a superior product. They sell it to Phil Rosenthal, and Phil Rosenthal says, "You're not leaving this fucking table until you buy this car."
So, but they did it by putting showrooms out where an audience could see it. And they
not
gave the car to important people who
let people try it out.
Yeah.
And they had people like me on my CarCast program try it, film it, drive it, and love it.
Yeah.
And then I said, hey, everybody, I love it. And Phil saw the program and went, well, if Adam likes it. Now, listen, first thing I need to do is drive and go, this is a fucking Cracker Jack box piece of shit. It's not worth $80,000.
Yeah.
Well, then you get no sales.
Yeah.
You have to do a podcast where everyone who hears it goes, this is fucking brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm going to share it with everyone I work with. If they're not doing that, then we're going to have an issue.
Yeah.
And when it comes to stand-up, yeah, people are going to come out, and they're going to come to the open mic, and the owner's going to be there. And if that owner hears a killer 5 minutes, that owner's going to say, hey, come back.
Yeah.
And then when you come back, there'll be an audience that's there to see Joe Coy. But you open for him, and that audience member goes, that guy's awesome. And the next time you come into town, they tell somebody else. That's how you fill an arena.
I completely understand and agree with what you're saying, but his conundrum is getting that original so-called foot in the door, getting an audience to begin with, to see
what comedian started with an audience.
They got up in front of an audience somewhere.
They had an outlet. They got up in front of like three other stand-ups.
Somewhere. They got up in front of somebody somewhere.
Oh, he has 30 people.
They're all relatives. He's got
to get those relatives to look.
All right.
You get every one of those 30 people to tell three people.
All right. Okay. Well, there
and
you
now
go.
You got 90
okay,
people.
That,
now
that's a solution.
Those three people that are outside of the family that were told.
They better like it. Yeah.
That's my answer.
Okay. All right.
All right. Mold infestation in your house. No. I don't know. Have an expert do that, and who gives a shit? Uh-oh.
I've never seen a single long-term, really serious mold problem.
We have with insane people, right?
Yeah.
All right. Line one dropped off. Let's see. Is line one on or off? I can't figure that one out.
I can't tell. It looks like it might be on, but that may be because you just hit it.
I will, and I'll try it again.
Number and try your call.
No, it's gone.
Wait, it's a chick. She had a question about numbers. All right. Anyway, Aaron, who was holding for a million years, had a question about
Rodehard,
and he bought himself a role in the movie, and he wants to know how that will play out. We're on the second draft of the script. We'll start filming in December. Everyone will be contacted for everything, and that's about all I know.
People have to transport themselves to said vicinity, wherever you're filming?
Thus far. I'm imagining they do.
You're filming here, you think? Out here?
Yes. Yeah. Southern California, yes. All right. I want to thank everyone who subscribes via the PayPal. See, Pops, ain't too proud. Now, Drew, that's passive aggressive, right?
Yeah.
The I don't beg?
Yes. Yes. And also the I don't understand is a little passive aggressive. Like I refuse to understand.
And how about this, which I never got? This costs you money? How much?
Never. Interesting.
$200 a month. Well, they don't want to know.
Yeah.
That's the point. it costs me $200 a month. Okay, I'll tell you what. I don't want a bag.
I'll pay you.
Here's $200 a month, and I'll keep it going.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's no bag, no bag, no bag. Fuck you. I'm out of here.
There you go.
All right. But we beg. PayPal, baby. Subscribe. $5 a month. What do you think? Sounds good to me. And you can check out our highlights, the first three shows. Bakersfield, Santa Barbara, Denver. And it's $4.99, under $5. AdamCarolla.com, or you can get it on iTunes. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew over there, Chris Maxpata, Gary Haftard saying, mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.